Blog Talk Radio.
You've been hunting round for treasure, find it all in the simple pleasures. I don't understand this life you lead. Maybe it's all a big mistake and you live on all you take from the lies that have always been close. I've been roaming round for hours singing all your songs.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to Onyx Nights Paranormal Radio. I'm your host, Onyx. Got a great show lined up tonight. We're going to have Debbie King McMartin and Mike Woolley with the movie Skookum, The Hunt for Bigfoot. We're going to get those guys in here right away. I believe I only have them for an hour. But after that, we're going to keep rolling. If they're willing to stay on, then we'll continue with them. If not, then we're just going to keep rolling and discuss a few things, a few topics that are going around here lately. I don't want to waste any time. I want to go ahead and get Mike and Debbie on and discuss the release of, I'm being told, the director's cut of the movie. Hey, Debbie, are you there? Hello?
You hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. How are you tonight?
Okay, good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Mr. Mike, you're on here with us, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah. I'm just learning today. See, I thought I'm just learning today that this is actually on Saturday. It's the director's cut release, correct?
Director's cut release. We're going to be rendering the film out by midnight on Saturday night. We may have to do a few sound corrections on Sunday, as I hear from the editor today, but they will be mailed out starting Monday to all those people who have pre-ordered and been part of our test audience. This is our test audience release. It's not a locked version yet of the movie because we may get feedback, you know, on various aspects of the film that we might want to change. Based on the feedback, you know, like Hollywood productions are able to afford to do big screenings in Hollywood with
right.
their test audiences prior to release. And based on the feedback of the audience, they will go in sometimes and change aspects of the movie. So because we're a low-budget film, this is the way we're working with Skookum, The Hunt for Bigfoot. And so that's why we offered a discount to the people who would be willing to be part of our test audience and get their names on the credits on the movie and be able to give us feedback
I'm willing.
On what
you know
they
me.
Think.
I'm willing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. We have updated the credits on the movie, on the film itself. We did and completed that today. It will be probably next week before they're updated on our website and IMDb, but just because we're under such time constraints in the editing booth to get this thing right, get it rendered out by Saturday at midnight. It's always last minute stress, but that's part of the fun.
I got you. Now you and I spoke briefly, and you're going to do a giveaway tonight. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So towards the end, you guys are on for an hour, right?
On for an hour, yeah.
Okay, so towards the end of the hour, we'll go ahead and we'll do that. All you people listening, stay tuned because, you know, we're going to announce a certain number, caller, and that caller is going to win a free copy of the director cut, correct?
Yes, that's right.
And what you'll do is you'll get with me, myself, or you'll get with Mike Woolley or Debbie King McMartin, and you can find them through Facebook, and give them your information. And, you know, we don't want to give anyone's information on air, of course. But get with one of us if you're the winner, and we'll make sure all that takes place and happens. Now,
right, and we will add their name to the special thanks for the test audience who've pre-ordered.
Oh, that's great.
You know, they'll get their name added as special thanks. You know, if they would like to give us feedback, we certainly invite that. So between now and October, when we do the locked version, we can make it everything that everybody wants it to be. And we also want to make sure that the credit roll, that we got everybody in the credit roll that needs to be on
right,
there.
Right.
We think we have it, you know, golden right now, but, you know, we may have forgotten something or something, misspelled a name or whatever. So this is part of this process.
Now, I looked at the website earlier. I looked at the store, and you have the director cut DVD for the pre-order price of $15. I posted that link.
Yes,
I posted that link on your behalf on my website. And
thank you. And that is until Saturday night at midnight. After that, it goes up to $20 just because we want to honor the people that have been waiting for a while for this. I mean, the people that ordered way in advance and give our thanks. And so, from now, from Saturday night on, it'll be $20.
Right. So you guys,
for 15 now, they can go to our Skookum the Movie website on our news page, and right there when they click that news link is a PayPal button. It's very easy to order. So very simple.
Naturally, we want you guys to call in and try to win the free copy. But in the event that doesn't happen, I will be posting again the link to the store site where you can order the director's cut and check it out. Give a little feedback, and I really like this, Debbie and Mike, because it gives the viewer the opportunity to participate in the creation of this film.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what we want. This has kind of been an interesting venture, and we wanted everybody to feel part of it, and I am so excited about the results I'm seeing. We have a new editor on board, Adrian Cunningham, who has absolutely done a fantastic job of incorporating our pickup shots of Mike Woolley and others that were in the movie from the Bigfoot point of view, which we discovered our movie was we felt like we had golden footage, but there were some gaps in it. There were some holes in it, and we figured out it was because we didn't have near enough Bigfoot point of view shots where Bigfoot is looking from a distance.
Yeah, you
and I
spoke
about that. With all the sound effects, and we did that, and our editor has incorporated that into the movie in just a fantastic way. It just gives me chills to even talk about it. He's incorporated scenes of Mike Woolley reenacting the beginning of the movie. I'm doing a little, a giveaway right now, but the beginning of the movie now has Mike Woolley in his camo. And Mike, you don't even know this yet. It just happened the last 2 days. The bow and arrow shot that we filmed during our production in 2013 is now in there at the very beginning when the credits, right before the credits begin to roll. He's in the tree with his bow and arrow, and he sees something and hears something and puts his bow and arrow down, picks up his rifle, and has his encounter with a Bigfoot in the woods, very much like what really happened. So we have Mike Woolley in the very beginning because this movie was based on his actual encounter with Bigfoot. And in the very end, when the credits roll, we have the end credits roll, we have Mike Woolley telling his story as the credits roll. So we kind of have a bookend with starting with Mike and ending with Mike in honor of his story.
Right, right. And you guys know, I mean, I am super excited about this movie, you know. I talk to Mike pretty much every week, and it's so much so that that he's kind of become like a surrogate uncle to me, and Jackie a surrogate aunt. I call him Uncle Mike.
Right, they're wonderful.
But yeah, it's a great relationship. Me and Mr. Mike have talked about just anything and everything under the sun, and he's a great person. And I'm really excited for this movie to come out and Mike's story to come out. And just to catch our listeners up to speed, Mike, would you give a little bit of background on the story?
Mm-hmm. Well, the movie is inspired by my actual encounter, you know, that happened back in December 81. I think I met Debbie around 2009. Through a friend of hers, Miss Arlena Cray up in Shreveport. She works for the city of Shreveport. She's in charge of the films, you know, that comes in and making sure that they need everything they need, they get, and, you know, and get set up. And me and her was talking one day. She come out here. I met her, and she had some producers from California movie producers, and they wanted to do a horror movie. And you know, out here where I live, we have a lot of Civil War homes. You know, it's a lot of battleground, a lot of wars fought here. Cemeteries, Civil War, we got a lot of stuff. And so I was showing them around, and I don't know, something come up, you know, about the show. But one of the guys asked me, did I ever watch, you know, those kind of movies? And I told him, I said, yeah, I did in my younger days. I really hadn't really paid much attention to them, you know. And
right.
Something was coming up. I don't know, something brought up about Bigfoot. And they asked me, had ever seen one down here, you know. And I said, yeah, you know. And I told them what happened to me. And Arlena was kind of, I could tell she was engrossed in the story. And she said, you know, I have a friend, Debbie, that's wanting to do a Bigfoot movie, and would you be interested in talking to her? I said, yeah, I'll talk to her. So anyway, I think a day or two later, I got a message from Debbie, and we talked right after that, and just started talking about the movie, and she told me what she wanted to do and kind of give me a what she was you know, how she was wanting to the script. And I can only give her a little insight, you know, what I kind of like in a movie. If everyone did one, she kind of was thrilled with the idea and took it and run with it. And so 5 years later, here we are, you know. And that's kind of how it, you know, come to be. She's got some very talented people in the movie, you know, Paul Logan and Donna Renee, Ashton Lee out of Baton Rouge. So very talented people, and some other good people also. There's a lot of people in this movie. And, you know, it takes a lot of people to do a movie anyway. They're not on the screen. The background people, the staff, you know. And so we had a lot of good people and had a good time, and it all went together. But, you know, it's a lot of work trying to get, you know, something of this magnitude done. But, you know, with the grace of God, we got it done. And so hopefully, you know, Monday we're going to be getting next week some good feedback, you know, and everything. So it's starting to get exciting.
Yeah, a lot of a a lot of my, our team, a lot of my friends have participated in some way regarding the movie. Michael Hall, he was actually in it. He had a role in it. And then a lot of the team went up there for interviews that are going to be in the end credits, correct?
So, yeah, absolutely. All of those are in the end credits. We've just completed White on Black opening credits and end credits on the film. And but it will take us. It's going to be next week before those get on IMDb and the website, just because we're so focused on getting everything, every little detail of the movie down that, you know, it won't show up on IMDb. Well,
right.
Actually, we'll put it on IMDb next week, but it usually takes a few days for them to make the changes, for IMDb to make the changes on there. So it's probably going to be another week, week and a half before people will be able to see their names up there.
Yeah, that's completely understandable. I was getting a few questions regarding it, and wanted to, you know, make sure what I could let those guys know. Now,
and we wanted to do it all at one time, just because there's so many things there. You know, until midnight Saturday night, there's people trickling in, you know, with orders. So we got to go add that, and so we're gonna just wait until next week when the credits are locked at that point in time. People can order the DVD for $20, but we can't add them as credits, you know, at that time. The movie itself won't be locked until October, but the credits will, because we just can't, you know, keep going and doing that and then you know, doing all our perfections to the sound. What we're going to do during the next, I think mostly are tweaking during the next month before October 11th, which we are going to be in the Lake Charles International Film Festival in Lake Charles, Louisiana. We're going to be working on some tweaking the sound and perfecting that a bit more between now and then. So we'll be doing it, but there won't be any really significant changes to the movie. We're not going to be changing scenes or doing anything like that. It's just mainly working on the sound production over the next month. And, you know, if there's something blatant that some of our test audience sees that we don't see, because, like I say, we're so close to it, we can't be totally objective, and there might be a hole somewhere
right,
or something that we need to add something to. That's what our test audience does for us. It's just like somebody that writes a book, even if they're an editor of a New York publishing company, they can't edit their own book because they read it as intended. Well, we edit the movie as intended, and we know the story so well that we can't see all the little holes in it. So that's what we're kind of relying on our test audience to do this,
right,
and return
right,
the internet. Name on the movie.
As an artist myself, with anything I sculpt or draw or whatever, it's the same way. You know, I can't see what's right in front of me. I usually have to take a picture of it and put it, you know, on a computer before I can see the errors. So yeah, I can completely understand that.
We want it to be effective. We want this to be what everybody has been anticipating, and from what I can see so far, it's just, oh my gosh. It just blows me away, just, you know, getting the bits and pieces. And we haven't, of course, we won't render it all out until midnight Saturday night. Then we'll see it in its whole. And I'm going to try to get a theater that we can have access to see it on the big screen and put the Bose, you know, earphones on so we can, you know, make sure everything we can get the sound the best it can be, you know, before it goes out. But everything that I see is just very impactful. You know, all the symbolism, all the visuals are exactly where they need to be.
That's great. That's great. I'm going to, Uncle Mike, Miss Mike knows about it. I'm going to be over in Falk from October 1st to October the 5th. We're going to go and all get together, and we're going to go do an expedition out there, research expedition out there, and I think Mike is going to be going to Tennessee at that time, but are you going to be around?
Yes, I will be.
Oh, cool! Because I'd love to get with you and meet you, you know, while I'm there. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool. Now, when is the Foggy Creek Days? Is that going on this year in October?
That's when I'll be going during all that.
Because I haven't gotten any information on that. For some reason, I got off that list, and I haven't had any contact. So I'm wondering if they might still want our film to be.
Well, I can find the information and send it to you through Facebook or whatever. Yeah, I'll do that. That's not a problem.
Okay.
You know, we got to talk about this, and you know me, I got to talk about it. We talked about it before. I'm going to be in the second movie. Where are we as far as that goes?
Well, Lynn is 75% finished with the script.
I'm excited. That just made my year.
I kind of think right now, April of 2015, which I would have loved to have done then, it feels like it's right around the corner. So, I mean, I think it's more likely that it would be filmed in October of 2015. Because we're not going to be doing this Bigfoot movie during the summertime with these costumes and the weight and all that stuff. Because you're going to be wearing the Bigfoot costume that we used in this movie, and then we're going to have the second
we have somebody
for that role that's 7'1". Okay, so we're going to be creating a new costume for him.
So that is final. I am going to be able to be the Sasquatch.
Yes, we've got you. Actually, yes. Yeah.
Feel free to use me as an uncostumed role also.
Okay, we probably will because we're guerrilla filmmakers and you just have to wear a lot of hats. You might be handing out coffee too.
I can grow a beard.
I'll do whatever. I'll bring you coffee.
Yeah, I'll do whatever. I'm telling you, I'll shave my head bald and be someone bald. I'll shave my beard. Whatever y'all need.
Winona Ryder. There he comes.
I'm sorry. What was that?
Winona Ryder. She shaved her head for one of the films she did, and I thought, whoa, she's very committed to her art and craft.
Yeah, I'm just excited, and what you know the fact that finally confirmed that I was going to be in the suit. Oh God, I love you guys so much. I love you guys so much.
You got the suit.
We've got a
7'1" guy who's big and bulky. In addition to being, I think the tallest person I've ever seen in my life, and he actually is works for the. City of Oil City, Louisiana, and I asked him, I said, would you be willing to do it? And he said, yeah, so we'll have to create a new costume for him, which is going to, that will take some time. But it really, the second movie, I would like to fund based on the sales of the first movie. So the better we do here, the more chances. I'm certainly willing to put the King Sisters production portion of it back into the sequel, which is Skookum Rogue Bigfoot, into that movie. So if we can, the more support we get for this project, the sooner we're going
to
be able to film the next one.
So you guys go and order this movie. Do the pre-order. If you want the director's cut, I like director's cuts myself. There's just more meat to the movie, or you can hold out till October, and get the final cut of it. Definitely support it. We want to see this happen. We want to see it take place.
You can order both. I mean, we're
and there's other merchandise. We can't forget the other merchandise, Mr. Mike. That's over on your on the store.
Mm-hmm.
Now
you have.
Yeah, I didn't even know. I was just speaking with Mike earlier. I didn't even know that there was so much over there on the store yet. I mean, there's ball caps, there's cups, there's T-shirts, there's posters.
Yeah.
I mean, you name it, and I was like, whoa,
right.
I was impressed. So definitely, I want to share that with everyone. And you guys go over there and look at it and order some stuff. The more you support, the better the chances are that we can move forward and make
right.
a sequel.
Next lady.
But that'd be cool because you said he's 7'1", I'm 6'1", which a lot of people would say was tall. I don't think it's tall, but you know that comparison there, that'd be a great comparison.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A great contrast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
I'm looking. I'm really, 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 really looking forward to it. And I'm sorry. Go ahead,
and
Mike.
We've got the location set and everything for the next.
Oh
movie.
Really?
We've got it down. Mm-hmm.
Because I know I was trying to get you over here to Mississippi to look around here and see if you see anything. Mississippi has seemed to be a taking off with my research, and then there's a couple others over here in Mississippi, and I really think that people are seeing, and you know, I was talking with Gene St. Gene, who you guys know does the action figures. I was talking to him about this, and I was like, you know, sometimes all it takes is one person to speak up, and others come forth and get that bravery to come forth and tell their stories, and now it seems like everybody, Mississippi's just is taking off, and people are starting to realize what I already knew that they are here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
But that's
yeah.
awesome, Mike. You were going to say something. I think cut you off.
No, that was okay. I was just gonna kind of talk about what you were saying over Mississippi about the encounters. Over Mississippi, it seems like what I'm seeing, there's more dogman encounters over there. Have a bunch of them, and
I don't know about the whole dogman thing. I don't put too much stock into that. I think I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but I think dogman is more just misinterpretations of a Sasquatch. You know,
well,
there's
some people that I've listened to their interviews, and they pretty much described it, saying, it had a canine snout, which was, humongous, and the eyes and the ears, and kind of stood on his haunches, and 10, 11 foot tall. I've read and listened to several encounters, about it.
But that it's funny you say that, because at night that Melissa and I got that roar, if you watch that video, and I think I showed you the pictures, the next day I found this weird looking track that looked like a dog track but had a heel like a man. So I don't know, honestly.
There's a black guy, Vic, I can't think of his last name, it starts with C. He's done extensive research on these creatures, and he's got his own, show. I think, I don't forget what night it comes on, and he talks about these things. And he went on, and very interesting, and he even talked about how he had a lot of information he got from the government gave him. And it's pretty, pretty exciting to hear. Check him out. I can't think of his last name, Vic, something to see, but check him out. Listen to what the guy's got to say, and it's given me a different perspective now. I don't know what I don't know nothing about the creatures, where they come from, or if they're a form of Bigfoot or what, but get a chance, listen to one of the guy's shows, or he did a show, 2-3 weeks ago on the Texas Big Thicket Watch, and when you get a chance,
yeah, you'll have to link it to me or send it to me if you can find it or whatever.
Yeah,
I think we lost. I think we lost Debbie. Let me.
I'm here.
Debbie,
I call back.
Oh, okay. Something. This site has been kind of acting goofy here lately. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I just got cut off for some reason. It may have been my phone too, but I called back and it put me in.
I apologize for that.
That's okay.
Yeah,
fine.
Yeah, Mike, send it to me when you get, you know, when you get around to it, if you can remember.
Okay.
And I'll definitely check it out. Debbie, Johnny Holmes just told me that the Boggy Creek Fest is actually is actually going to be in late October, from the 24th to the 25th. I got confused. I thought it was at the 1st of October when I'll be down there, but it's not. But I'll still be down there, and we're all going to get together and go out in the woods and go on an expedition. It's going to be great. And I got your number, so you know I'll call you and let you know if you're in that area, of course.
Okay. That is actually the weekend of my son is at SMU, and it's his family weekend. But I could make sure that I could put the movie in, like, Mike Woolley's hands or somebody that's going to be there for them to be able to show our film there. I mean, I could do that if they wanted
to. Oh, you mean for the Bike Creek Days? Yeah.
That's the weekend. I have to be in Dallas.
That's the 24th
family weekend.
Right. I'm going to be there October 1st to October the 5th.
So
I'm going to be there at the beginning of the month. The Boggy Creek Days is at the end of the month.
And I'll, you know, I'm in town during that time. I definitely will be. The only time I'm really out of town over the next couple of months is that weekend, you know, the 24th and 25th, which is I'll be in Dallas.
Okay. I don't know where you all live in, you know, in reference to Falk, but, you know, I'm going to be that way.
Probably it's an hour from Falk.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's awesome. But, you know, the movie coming out is exciting. The news that you shared tonight is exciting. We have probably about 30 minutes left, but what I want to do is if I can, this movie is about Mr. Mike's encounter. And Mike, this is where you were hunting, correct? And you had an encounter with more than one Sasquatch.
Yeah. That day it started out with one, and when it was actually over, another one come, you know, running up.
And basically, these things were chasing the deer and ran into you, more or less.
Yeah, that's correct. Deer run into my deer stand and laid down, and he come up there, and he got really upset, pretty mad at me, I guess, for blowing their kill. And also, I guess he got mad at me because I made him, you know. I blew his cover, and so it was a pretty herring ordeal. I don't think I want to go through another one anytime.
I understand that. I mean, I had the one that we spoke about many times, the one that roared at me and Melissa. But then, you know, I've also had other encounters where they slam, I can only describe it as slamming branches or slamming logs to the ground, tree shaking, wood knocks, things of that nature. And I'm looking forward to next week because it's supposed to cool down, and I'm going to be definitely trying to get out there then.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for some cool weather. I'm sure everybody else is.
Oh, yeah. I was getting a lot of activity up until we had a local bike rally. And the bikers were all going out there to the lake, which is near my area. And after that, it's like nothing, you know. So I think that all the noise and whatnot may have pushed them a little further back.
Right, right. Well, they know when you get there, and they know when you leave, so...
Oh yeah, I believe that. Well, see, you know, I've been going back to this area for 7 years now, and I really feel like, and this is all speculation, of course, based on my own feelings. I really feel like have seen me many times, even during the day, and they're aware of me and familiar with me and, you know who I am and know that they don't have nothing to worry about.
Right, right. Well, you know, I'm sure that they know you very well. Matter of fact, I bet you they've been to your house and checked all that out too, you know, where you live, sented you back, you know. So they know more about you than you know about them. I guarantee you that.
Yeah, yeah. Someone asked, someone in the chat room, in fact, it's Beth. Beth asked if we were live right now, and I jokingly said, no, I'm a ghost.
Who asked
yes,
that?
We are live right now.
Who asked that?
Beth Patterson.
Oh, Beth? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. We are really live right now.
Tell her don't speak up, you know?
Yeah. What we're going to do is, if you guys want, in a minute we'll take some callers. Not necessarily. If anyone has any questions that they want to ask, they can call in now. We're not ready to do the giveaway just yet. But you guys, if you're listening, if you want to call in, if you have any questions or comments for Debbie or Mike, keep it respectful, of course. The number is 323-580-5703. 323-580-5703. That's the call in and congratulate if you want. Ask questions about the movie or even Mr. Mike's encounter. Go ahead and do that now. Shortly, within the next 10 minutes or so, we'll go ahead and do the giveaway for the director's cut of the movie. Debbie, as far as promotion wise, you mentioned something about you have to go to was it a convention or something along those lines, you said?
Oh, you mean in October?
Yeah,
he's talking about Lake Charles.
Yeah, Lake Charles,
oh,
that's right.
Oh, okay, a film festival. Yes, I got contacted about, it was probably 6 weeks ago, by the director of the Lake Charles International Film Festival. I do not know how he found out about Skookum, but he said, we would love for you to screen Skookum at our film festival in Lake Charles on October 11th, and we will waive all fees. In other words, we don't have to pay any fees to be in the film festival, and they're just going to show us at the theaters there. And it'll be, of course, eligible for the audience award and all that. And so I said, sure, you know, we'll... But I told them that we would not have the the director's cut copy to him till September 6th. So he said that was fine. So that's what we're planning to do. And it'll be on the big screen there. And I hope people will turn out for it. And apparently this is a very, very well-organized film festival. And I'm excited about being able to show it in Louisiana on the big screen.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Of all places to do a screen, you know, there you go.
And
down
there will
in South
be others.
Louisiana.
I've just been, because we did this last year in Chicago at a film festival. And it was, as Mike can attest to, a fiasco. We got a not very good quality director's cut in our hand at the 12 and a half hours, you know, and it was sort of embarrassing, and we've kind of been burned on that process, so this is going to be a little different. I was very careful about how we committed to this process, but I've been working directly every day for weeks with this new film editor. And I feel very confident that on October 11th, we're going to have an absolutely locked-in, stellar film to be able to view on the big screen. And we've got you know, we're going to have a good one, and it may have a few little sound glitches in because we're doing the best we can on getting our sound quality up to par, but I know we're going to have to do a little bit of work on that between now and the film festival. So everybody bear with us on that part.
Right, right. And a lot of work has gone into this already. I mean, the first time I had you guys on, I think, was either March or April. So in all that time, it's been nothing but steady work on it to improve.
Steady work. And we've had very intensive for the last, I would say probably, I can't remember exactly, Mike, you may remember, but I think for the last 6 weeks, it's been 16 hours a day, you know, on getting this end part done. Because there were certain scenes that were not included on the original rough cut that, you know, really, really golden shots, like Mike's bow and arrow scene, and, you know, how to put that in skillfully and artistically as part of the setup for the movie. And our new editor, Adrian, just figured it out. And, you know, then getting the sound effects to match that. The Bigfoot sound effects have been really, really time-consuming. And getting exactly the right effects with everything we have. So it's just, there's just a thousand different aspects that go into the end product.
I am anxious to
hear.
It's kind
of amazing that anything ever, out on the low budget project because, I'm really excited. I'm very excited about it.
I'm anxious
also,
to see. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Also, Debbie, you might want to mention to them. We used from some friends. We used these sounds, the Bigfoot sounds, in the movie as actual real sounds.
We use the real sound.
Some creatures.
And
over.
What our sound editor did is he took those and he kind of sound mixed it to take out the background noise and mix it to make it clear. I mean, it was
It's actually real Sasquatch sound.
Many of these sounds in the movie are real Sasquatch sounds. There's a few sounds that are sound mixed from like the combination of whale sounds and bears. I mean, I can't remember the other, but there's some sound mix sounds there too. But some of them are actual what the people that recorded it feel like are Sasquatch. Of course, you know, Sasquatch is as yet an unidentified creature, so we can't say for sure. But
it
has validity on what the experts think.
Right, because we didn't actually see them making these sounds. So, but yeah, I understand.
Right, so we can't claim that. We can't claim these are real Sasquatch. I mean, you know, for obvious reasons. But we included those in the sound mix to be able to put in the movie.
Well, they come from two highly decorated researchers, especially one guy from Texas. I can't really mention their name, but they work with us. We've got a vast library and really excellent researchers. And I talked with them, and they helped us out with, you know, the real deal. And I've heard enough of them, and these are some real great sounds. Also, I meant to mention to Debbie, it just hit my mind. Next weekend, we will be down filming where my actual encounter happened. The same property, the same woods, everything. We're going to show everybody. It'll be in a movie and where the encounter actually took place.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Now, you said you had a location. Is it near all this for the second one?
Actually, the location for the second one that we have secured now is in and around Odessa, Louisiana, which is north of Vivian, a little bit north of Vivian.
Ah, I got you.
It's near Boggy Creek.
It's like 100 acres of private property that a friend of mine said we were welcome to use, which has everything we need.
40-50 miles from Boggy Creek.
That's awesome. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I really can't wait. Someone's wondering if it's going to be, if the movie is going to be put on Blu-ray or just DVD.
Right now we're going to have it on DVD, but I'm sure eventually when we have the locked version in after October, we'll render it to Blu-ray also.
I got you. That's okay. Yeah, I was wondering about that too, and I kind of forgot to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second
The director's cut will be just standard, but in October we'll render a Blu-ray copy.
Now, the first one is based on Miss Mike's encounters. Is the second one going to be based
yes,
on actual encounters also?
Yes, this movie that we're completing now, the editing on, is based on and the second one really is an extension of that, with Mike Woolley playing basically the same character role in it. It's an extension of the character he played in the first movie, which is an embellished form of himself, you know. I mean, of course, when you're doing a narrative feature film, you have to take a germ of an idea or an inspiration from a true story and flesh it out.
An embellished form of Mike. Mike's already a character. As he is.
Yes, but this is an exaggerated form of what he already is.
Mike, you know I love you. I got to mess with you.
Oh man, hey! If you didn't mess with me, I knew you didn't love me. Okay, I feel left out.
Mr. Mike's gonna be he's gonna be a movie star by the time all this is done. He's gonna be
Well, he already is. It's like he's a major demand
Hugh
here.
He's gonna be Hugh Hefner of the Sasquatch world.
Just give me the robe. I like blue. It's my favorite color.
Don't tell Jackie I said that. Oh, guys, you know, it's always great having you on, and definitely I want to get you guys back on before the final cut is released.
Okay.
In October. We'll definitely schedule for that. And right now what we're going to do is we'll go ahead and take pick a number, guys. What number caller?
How about seven? What do you
seven.
Think, Mike? You want to pick a number?
Well, I'll meet you halfway, five.
All right. Maybe we'll add them, make it 12.
Okay.
All right. 12th caller. 12th caller, call in now, 323-580-5703. That's 323-580-5703. And we'll get you that that free copy of the director's cut of Skookum, The Hunt for Bigfoot. So what else is going on in between the release of the final cut and, say, April, the start? Are you going to be promoting, doing anything of that nature? Or just
absolutely
kicking back and relaxing a little bit?
All the time. I'm trying, because we're still guerrilla filmmakers and there's still very limited funds in there to go at, you know, we're just kind of depending on, you know, people, the support of our test audience and the support of Bigfoot fans out there and people who want to see something unique. And with a little bit of Hollywood in there with some, you know, really great actors, and also local people who I wanted very much to have a reality in their realness, which I think.
I'm sorry, are you there?
Yeah, I think we lost her.
We lost her again. Yeah, I can hear you. We got a call
oh, okay.
calling in.
Can you hear me
Let
now?
Me, yeah, I can. Okay. I can hear you now. Let me see. Hey, you're on the air. Call back. You're the first caller.
Okay, thanks.
All right, now that was number one, so we got to keep it rolling. Yeah, I'm sorry. What were you saying now, Debbie?
Okay. We were just talking about that, you know, we were dependent on our test audience to really help us, you know, get this thing off the ground as far as promotion. And I'm taking one day at a time out there in the field, and hopefully we'll have a grassroots effort to get the word out about this very unique movie, which includes both Hollywood players. You know, we've got Paul Logan, we've got Ashton Leigh, Diana Renee, Tom Malloy, and we also have very intriguing local characters who add so much flavor to the film, much like I think the success of Legend of Boggy Creek lends itself to, which is they used real people. We have that real feeling to our movie.
So the,
you
so
know,
the
we
cast,
tie in South. Yes. We have the real mayor
back.
Of Oil City, Louisiana, who owns the pawn shop, Picker's Pawn Shop in Oil City. He's the real guy in the movie. We have the mayor, Terry Purvis of South Arkansas in the movie, who come together to try to solve this whole Bigfoot dilemma that's going on in Oil City. I mean, it's in our movie. So we bring real local people, local flavor into it, which I love, and that was my original vision of this project.
That's great, and I think that's a lot of what made The Legend of Boggy Creek
I think
so endearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for a sequel, is the original cast going to be returning?
As much as possible, the original cast will be returning. I know I've had many of them say, you know, sign me on. Jeff Meldrum included, who we all know. Dr. Jeff Meldrum is the primo research scientist in the Bigfoot world, and he's all ready to come back on.
Oh, God, I can't wait to meet him. That's going to be so great. I'm telling you guys, this is going to be like a dream come true for me. Yeah.
Well, awesome. It's going to be a fun, you know, there's nothing like one of Maya Landy, our makeup artist, who's definitely going to be coming back because she is makeup artist extraordinaire. I mean, she's amazing. And she said, filming, producing a movie is like compressed life, and it really is. It's like you go through every aspect of your whole life experience when you make a movie. And the good, the bad, the ugly, and the wonderful, you just can't wait to get out there and do it again. It's just absolutely addictive. So.
Also, that's... Brian, I don't know if I've talked to you, but I did a deal last week with television show Monsters and Mysteries in America.
No, you didn't tell me about that.
Yeah, it's on Destination America. They're coming to do a show with me here in a couple weeks. And,
oh, wow. Yeah, I'm familiar with the show. I've had a couple of people on that were on that show, Lyle Blackburn for one.
Yeah, Lyle was the one that he recommended me, my encounter. And they looked at it and liked it, so they're coming down, and I've got another friend or two that they want to talk to, and so they're going to try to shoot the show here 2 or 3 weeks from now, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll definitely have to help try to promote that, because I'm in pretty good contact with a couple of the publicists over at Destination America and Discovery Channel. They've been pretty much contacting me to do, and I'm sure you guys heard, to do a lot of their new shows that are coming out, and to have them on and promote and everything like that. So yeah, I'd be more. Just let me know ahead of time, Mike, and I'll make it happen. I'll get you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You're
you
guys
a great
on
guy.
Talk
you really
about the show
us out a lot. And I can always count on you. You know, I know
that's,
that.
I appreciate that. That's what I'm here for. That's how it should be in the world, you know? Everybody looking out for each other and helping each other.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right, tell us where you're going to get something done.
Yep.
You know,
let me...
If it hadn't been for people in my life giving me a second chance. And that's why I'm a firm believer in, you know, people do mess up, but, you know, depending on what happened, you know, I've had a lot of people believed in me, and if it wouldn't have been for believing in me, I probably wouldn't be here today or where I'm at, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you and I have talked about a lot of this in private, and, you know, we just hit it off so well from day one. It's like I told even your wife, Jackie, it's like, you know, I could just sit and talk to you for hours, you know, easily. And that's why I was, you know, I was kind of hoping that you'd be there when I go, but, you know, I understand prior engagements.
Well, you know, I'm going to, what day are you going to be in, Falk?
I leave the 30th. I'm going to be there the 1st to the 5th.
Okay. I'll probably see you on the 1st. I'll go get up there and hang out with y'all guys a day or so and see everybody again. And Greg and Brian and all the Brian Empey, you know, and also yourself.
And I'll do the same thing.
So I'm going to come up, hang out with you. You know, I want to meet you and. And, you know, y'all might want to have a barbecue for me and Debbie. Who knows, you know?
I don't know. Johnny Holmes, he's going to be my host while I'm there. And he's like, don't worry about nothing. We got it covered. We're going to cook and all this other stuff. So, you know, basically all I got to do is go out there and research. Johnny's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
I'm really glad we got that connection going, and Johnny is actually who it was him and I talking when we decided to make Onyx Knights Paranormal Cryptid, the cryptid page and the cryptid group.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like it was meant to be, you know.
Yeah. They're good.
And everything is everything is taken off from there.
Yeah, they're a great bunch of guys, and you know, you'll have a lot of good fellowship. But watch them now. They like to cook spam now.
Cook spam? like literal spam?
No, you buy at the store.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, Lord.
I'm kidding.
Hey, I'll tell you what, if I'm hungry enough, I'll eat anything. You know what I'm saying?
I know, but spam just doesn't do it for me. I'm sorry.
Hey. Hey, I in fact, I told Johnny this. I said, you know, man, I said I'm gonna bring some potted meat, you know, because I love potted meat sandwiches. So he's like, no, you don't even need that, man. Don't even worry about it. You know, just come and, you know, camp out and have fun. You know, Brian Empey lives over in Texarkana. That's actually where I'm headed. I'm gonna meet up with all those guys, and we're gonna go from there over to Falk, you know. And I'm really looking forward to it. I mean, my life has really taken a turnaround since I started doing all this, and I'm really thankful for all of you guys, all the friends, and what I consider family, that have gathered around me through all this and the support, and it just means so much, and I can't express that enough.
Well,
you
know, you're a great guy. And is Greg?
You are great.
Greg Boyhead gonna be there too?
Who, Greg?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I think Greg has a prior engagement. I think he's going to be out of town, if I remember right. I think that's what Johnny told me.
Yeah, he's a good guy. I like Greg. He's a fine man.
Yeah, I've talked to them a couple times, and I mean the whole bunch of them seems like real good people, and that's the kind of people that you want to be involved with.
Mm-hmm. Right. They are a good group of guys.
Yeah, Greg will be at the Oklahoma symposium that week.
Yeah. Oh, that's that time of year, isn't it?
Yeah. So. Yeah, unfortunately, but there'll be other times, you know. Hell, I'm going to be down there for filming of the sequel, so, you know, all those guys live right up in that area, so, yeah, there'll be plenty of hanging out.
Yeah, well, you won't be far from them from where we shoot the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be probably 30 minutes from Texarkana, Rodessa is, I would say.
Yeah.
All right, guys. we have our 12th caller. We're going to go ahead and take that at this point.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello,
you're on the air with Mike and Debbie and myself. You are the 12th caller. You just won a free copy of Skookum, The Hunt for Bigfoot, Director's Cut.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, but I can't hear myself.
Okay, no, I was saying that you are our 12th caller.
Yay, Brian, this is Christy.
Christy, okay. Christy who? Oh, okay. Okay, hi, how are you?
Hi.
Well, you just won.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Christy?
I'm fine. Thank you for the refrigerator magnet again.
Oh, you're welcome.
So, I'm so excited I got a movie.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Yeah, get in touch with me or Mike or Debbie and give us your information and we'll make sure it gets to the right person.
Okay.
Are you the Christy of South Louisiana?
Yes, sir, I sure am.
Okay, I know you now.
Now you know me. Now you know
who
it is.
Yeah. Well, ain't that something?
I know it is. I'm so excited. I had messaged Brian on his page today, and I was like, where do I get the movie? I looked on the website, and I had just seen the director's cut. I didn't know if the full cut was coming out yet, so I'm so excited to get it.
Yeah, that's my fault, actually. I thought this was the full cut coming out Saturday, and I just found out today that it was the director's cut when I spoke with Mike. So, yeah, that's my fault right there.
Well, I saw your updated radio description, and so then I knew I wasn't looking for the wrong thing. So
now, were you also the first caller?
Yes.
So you were pretty persistent.
Yes,
it paid off. You have a free copy.
I guess so. So well, I'm excited to get the free copy.
Well, we appreciate you listening and calling in.
Well, thank you
so
much.
Well, if you're in South Louisiana, you can come to Lake Charles October 11th.
I was just listening to that. I am. I'm about a little over two and a half hours from Lake Charles.
Okay.
Well, now I have to ask, where are you at in South Louisiana?
Ponchatoula.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I'm originally from Morgan City. So, yeah, I know.
Okay.
I ride
I'm
through Pontchartrain.
I'm just on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain.
I got you. I know right where you are.
Pontchartrain. I have kinfolk there.
There's a rest.
My address is Pontchartrain, but I actually live out a little community called Bedico out in the woods. So.
Yeah, there's a nice little restaurant that we always stop at right there after you get on the north side.
The San Fran
restaurant.
I'm sorry?
I said there's lots of good restaurants on the North Shore. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's great. There's one, I can't even remember the name of it, to be honest with you, but it's right after you get off the bridge. And it's right before you get to Hammond and all that.
What is a thin fried catfish place called? They're famous for their thin fried catfish.
Middendorf out at Manshack?
That's it. Middendorf.
That's it.
That's what I was trying to think of.
Yes. That's the best.
Yes.
That's it. That's the place I'm thinking of.
You have
to
try their turtle soup if you go there again. It's really good.
Oh, I haven't had turtle since I actually lived in Louisiana, and that was... Oh, man, back in 97 when I left.
Well, they
turtle soup is wonderful.
Well,
yes, they have good turtle soup.
the last time I had turtle was turtle sauce pecan, so, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check it out and try it. But I try to get down there at least once a year.
Well, see, I'm originally from West Central Texas. I'm transplanted to South Louisiana, so I've had to learn all this good new food, too.
Hey, the fact that you're willing to try it and eat it is a testament there.
Oh, if it doesn't run away, get up and run away, I'll try it.
Yeah, most people who aren't born there, they're not even willing to try it. So, yeah.
But we won't talk about the roadkill.
I hear if you're hungry enough, you'll try anything.
Know it.
Mike's just keeping quiet on that one.
Y'all talking on my head, man. I got bit by a loggerhead turtle.
That's South Louisiana stuff, Mike. That's not North Louisiana stuff.
Well, I got bit by a loggerhead turtle, like lost half my foot, you know, when I was young. And the doctor, they just sewed on me 6 hours. And turtles, I'm not too big a fan of turtles. I sure ain't eat one of them things, something uglier than me, you know.
My goodness.
Well, you know, that's what gets me. I watch all these shows where they go doing that catfishing with their hands and stuff. I'm like, no way. There's no way.
Are you kidding? Yeah.
I've seen some big ass snapping turtles, and there is no way that I will stick my hand down in any water that I can't see or any hole. No way. I don't care how big the damn catfish is.
Those catfish can bite too, man. Some of them can latch onto you and blow you up pretty good. I mean, it just, there's other things I think I can find to get a rush on than getting half my hand amputated by a darn catfish, you know. But
that's right.
You know, that's part of it, you know. A lot of good food down there, a lot of good people, and, you know, it's a different part of the world from North Louisiana. I tell everybody, you know, when you go down there, just forget about everything you've seen up here because it's totally different, you know.
Right, right. Well, Christy, thank you for calling in. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much.
On winning your copy of the movie. I appreciate you listening and all the support.
Okay.
I think I still got your address, Christy, and I'll get it from Debbie and I'll fire it off to you.
All right. That'd be great, Mark. I'm very excited to get it.
I hear you.
Awesome. Hope to see you in Lake Charles on October 11th.
Well, if I can, I'll be there.
Awesome.
Definitely.
So,
thank you for all the support.
Thank
you all
very, very much.
You're welcome, hon. You have
thank
a good night.
Thank you.
Y'all too.
All right, Debbie and Mike, we have another caller on hold. I'm not sure. Let me click over real quick.
Okay.
Hello, caller.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hello.
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 Hello. Can you hear me? Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but I can hear you.
You're on. Hey, who's this?
It's Beth. Beth Patterson.
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, we were just talking about you earlier.
I know you were. Hi, Mike. Hi, Debbie.
Hey, how you doing, Beth?
Hey, Beth.
I'm doing good. I just wanted to call in and support the movie and the show and Brian's show and say hello. And.
Well, I appreciate that.
Oh, not a problem. And another person wanted to call in tonight. Her name's Cindy Cruess. You know her, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
From Alberta. From British Columbia. She says to tell you all hello.
Well,
she can't call in.
Oh, hey, and thank you for supporting our film project.
Oh, I'm sure she can. She's listening. She just can't call in because they've got some kind of a problem with their phone lines up there, and she can't call in. So. But she is listening, so.
Well, hey, Cindy.
There's a lot of love in
thank
this
you.
Room tonight.
Yes, there's a lot of love for y'all tonight.
Hey, I saw
y'all are blessed tonight.
Hey, Brian, I saw something yesterday, Brian. It was a lot of love on, I don't know, National Enquirer or something, one of those papers, you know. It had some guy.
I saw
that was on
you
there.
Post that. I saw you
he
post that, and I started to comment that, too. I started to comment, that's a whole lot of loving right there, buddy.
That was my
what is this about?
I can't believe you went there, Mike.
Sasquatch can have him. It was like one of those Weekly World News, the cover of one of those Weekly World News where there's this really obese man, and he says that basically he was held captive and raped by a Sasquatch.
Oh, my God.
I saw that, and I'm like, they can have him.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for the Sasquatch.
Run to the dog, man.
Yeah, he's good. He's a good guy, a good friend of mine. He's always tagging me and posting. I saw that deal, and I said I'm gonna have a little fun with him. And he's a good sport, and we're really good friends. And
I should pick. We have nothing against obese people. I shouldn't pick. I should be ashamed saying that.
But he's got a big heart, a good guy, and he's always tagging me and stuff. And so I said I gotta find a way. So I tagged him back.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I saw that, and that was, I started to post on there. I started to, and I'm like, nah, I didn't want to open that can of worms. But guys, that's going to wrap it up. You know, you guys, you had an hour show, and that's going to pretty much wrap it up. If you want to stay on, you're more than welcome to. I'm just gonna open the phones for different callers at this time and talk about some things that I've been noticing here lately that really kind of bother me a little bit. But if you guys got to go, I completely understand, and I thank you so much for coming on and all the good news that you've shared.
Well, thank you for having us. We appreciate it. We appreciate all the support of your audience and the people calling in, and can't wait to get your feedback on the movie, and
definitely.
Thank you for being part of the Skookum family.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's my pleasure. Believe me, I'm honored and excited to be a part of it. You know, you guys need to listen in next week. I'm going to have Les Stroud on, and that should be a real good.
Oh, wow, awesome.
Yeah, that should be a very, very interesting show. There's so many questions that I want to ask him. And a few that I don't want to ask him in regards. And guys, you guys listening, all our listeners, we're not going to bring up the Todd Standing subject. Okay, that's a touchy subject. I don't want to bring that up with Les Stroud. Mm-hmm. It's just not good for business. Now, if he brings it up, it's a different subject. But you know. I'm not going to broach the subject of Todd Standing and his hoaxes. So, you guys listen in, seriously. It's going to be a good show. And then a couple of weeks later, I'm going to have Michael Hawk, who is actually from New Orleans. He's a good friend of mine. He had that show Man, Woman, Wild and Lost Survivors. On television, he's a great, great guy. Former Special Forces captain and also a survivalist as well. And what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to get them to say what I already know and how easy it is for a Sasquatch or even a person to survive in the wilderness, you know, and get those aspects to the whole Sasquatch thing out there. From a survivalist point of view, because you know, based on my experience, it's not as difficult as many people think for a Sasquatch to find food and survive. You know, when that's all you know, it comes easy. You know, when your whole existence is out there in the woods, it comes easy.
Yeah,
but, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Mike.
They're master hunters. They could teach us a few things about hunting, you know. So that's the reason they survive and get so big. They know all the the ins and outs, you know, of seasonal. A lot of their food's seasonal, you know, just like ours is. And
see, that's what people don't understand. You know, I don't do what I do to try to prove to the world that they exist. I know they exist. Mm-hmm. The world can find out themselves the same way I did. I do what I do to try to understand them and learn from them as much as I can because, in all honesty, I envy them.
Mm.
You know, I think they're the ones that are living the ideal life out in the woods, nothing to worry about, you know, just enjoying the beauty of the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on it, you know. Some other people might have different views, but, you know, going out there pretty much every night and being around these things, that's my take on it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Yep.
So, well, anyway, I appreciate you guys calling in, and we're definitely going to get you guys back on for the release of, we got one more caller. Let me see.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air.
Oh, my God, am I caller number 12?
No, we already gave it away to caller number 12.
Oh, dang. No. This is Ryan from the Debunker Boys. I just wanted to call in and debunk Bigfoot. He does not exist. I'm kidding.
I know you're kidding. I know you're kidding because I know you better than that. You and I have talked in private many times. At first you had me going, I'm like, what the hell is he doing? Because I know
he was getting ready to push. Just press end. Just press.
Yeah,
end.
Yeah. I was about to hit the X button. Yeah, Ryan. Ryan is with another broadcast on this network, on the same network as me, and we help each other out. I was on his show. What it was, Ryan? Sunday, I believe. Monday.
Saturday.
Saturday. I am totally lost, guys. And, you know, we all look out for each other and help each other out, you know. You're lucky, man, because you almost had me going for a minute there. And I was like...
I just saw your status there on Facebook, and I thought I'd call in and give you a hard time.
you little prick. look, you've got Debbie King McMartin and Mike Woolley with the movie Skookum, The Hunt for Bigfoot on. And also Beth Patterson. Talk to them, man.
Well, I'm,
you know?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to. You know, I'm a huge enthusiast. I've never had a sighting myself, but I believe in the strong possibility. I believe the odds are in the favor of this humanoid hominid or whatever you want to call it, I found a possible track. You know, I would love to have an experience, and I'll be that guy that'll run after Bigfoot. So,
well, hell, that's pretty much what I do already. You know, I'm out there at night and I see eyes shining, and before I know it, I'm halfway in the woods going towards it without even thinking. It's just an instant thing, you know, which. You know, it might not necessarily be the best of ideas, but, you know, I'm just so inquisitive when it comes to this.
Me and Brian were talking on Saturday. I would have to say that our conversation on the Debunker Boys definitely strengthened my belief in the possibility. Now, I'm actually really excited because I haven't read through it yet, but I got to do it soon for my paper. But Dr. Meldrum actually sent me a lot of his papers that he's written to use in my research paper.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Ryan is he's doing a paper for college, right, Ryan?
Yes, sir.
To basically an argumentative paper, correct?
Yes, on whether or not Bigfoot should be recognized as an endangered species in the United States.
And he contacted me wanting to know how he can get his information for his paper, and I put him in touch with Dr. Jeff Meldrum.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to see that it paid off. He's really he's a very approachable person.
Yeah, which is you know, kind of a rarity in the TV world. I wouldn't say he's a TV personality. I would say they contacted him for TV because of his research.
Exactly. Yeah, and unfortunately, a lot of times they edit his stuff, and it's not exactly what he said or wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and add him to these ridiculous shows that you know, I'm sure if he knew of way ahead of time, he wouldn't have agreed to it. But
What's that crazy astrophysicist name? He young scientist guy got the crazy Einstein hair.
That's George. I'm trying to say his name right. It's
Georgios.
Yeah, I saw the episode of his where he's like looking for aliens and stuff like that, and you know, it's funny that they gave him his own TV series, and then that one episode trying to link Bigfoot to aliens and stuff like that, and when they used Dr. Meldrum in that episode, I really think they underutilized him.
Well, yeah, I agree. I think that they could have went to him, but you know, again, it is Giorgio's show, you know.
That's true.
And yeah. And Dr. Meldrum is in this movie, correct, Debbie?
He is. He plays basically himself, although we changed his last name, and we gave him a son, Connor, who works under him, who's also a scientific researcher. Dr. Meldrum's coming back for the sequel.
That's awesome. I can't wait to meet him.
He's a good actor. He's great in front of the camera. He's comfortable. And he's also a heck of a lot of fun. He's just a lot of fun to be around. He's funny and great sense of humor. He's very serious about the Bigfoot Project. And he actually is an associate producer on the film. And he was our script consultant to make sure that everything that we put in this movie was plausible as far as he was concerned.
Right. And
that's funny that you say that he's fun to be around and stuff like that, because that is not my experience at all with college professors.
Right.
Them being fun around and them having a personality.
He's got a great
and stuff
sense of
like
humor.
That.
He was always professional and like I say, very, very comfortable in front of the camera. So because I got a lot of pushback from it, especially people that I had brought on board that were pure Hollywood. It's like, oh, wait a minute. He's not a professional actor. Well, you know, guys, our original vision was to have real people on this project as well
mm-hmm.
as some professional actors. Again, getting back to that realness, and Dr. Meldrum was part of that, and they didn't get it. So a lot of them... Well, let's put it this way, went by the wayside, you know, didn't end up in the final plays of our project just because I had a vision.
So there was a lot of ego.
We
ego
had a vision
cutting.
From the beginning that this was going to be real, starting with Mike Woolley, and then Mike was able to bring for us Dr. Meldrum on board, and that started the whole reality of this project, and included, you know, some good actors who added tremendous value to the project. But this movie was about real people too, mostly about real people.
Now, do you guys actually include real, like, documented evidence in there, or is it all recreated evidence?
No, it's some of it. Documented evidence starts with Mike Woolley's Bigfoot encounter, and to the best we could, we reenacted all that. And
okay.
Documented evidence as far as some of the Bigfoot sounds included in the movie are what we believe are real Bigfoot sounds recorded in the woods. Okay, as far as we can claim documented evidence, that's it.
Right, right.
And then the third thing is that Dr. Meldrum, one of his Bigfoot castings, was included in actually the pawn shop scene in the movie when the two local women bring in this Bigfoot casting that they've done, that they found in and around Caddo Lake. They bring it into the pawn shop because they want some money, and the pawn shop owner, mayor, who is actually the mayor of Oil City, sees it and sees, oh, man, this thing is real, and then he calls the mayor of South Arkansas to bring him in on it because they think, you know, this is about monster Bigfoot. So that casting that we use in that scene is one of Dr. Meldrum's.
Hey, I can play out of suit. I can play Mike Woolley's younger brother that thinks he's just a crazy old coot.
Well, I'll pass that along to you. I'm not actually writing the script. I conceived the idea, but I'm not writing the script this time. But Lynn, the one that was the co-writer for Skook and the Hunt for Bigfoot, the first one that we're doing now, is actually doing the whole thing by herself. So
I got you.
I will pass that along and tell her that.
Mike, I think he fell asleep on us.
No, I'm listening, man. I'm taking everything in.
I know how it is when you get up there in age, old buddy.
Get up there in age, I'm just getting started.
Well, I just want to call in, you know, show my support and everything, you know.
Well, thank you,
throw
Ryan.
You guys
appreciate
for a little
that.
Loop. I got to get going here. I got some other stuff I got to do, but keep doing what you're doing, Brian. Love you, man. And
thanks, man. You
and
too.
I look forward to seeing the. I look forward to seeing this movie. I'm, you know, I'm
definitely.
Every documentary.
I'll post a link where you can go and order the director's cut.
Awesome.
Yeah,
well,
I'll post
y'all have a good night.
You too.
Thanks,
thank
Ryan.
You.
Take care, buddy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I've already Debbie and Mike. I apologize. I've already kept you guys for longer than what we originally proposed.
That's okay. We enjoyed being on here, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be on your show again.
Well, again, thank you guys for calling in. Beth is on also with us. Beth, thank you for calling in and listening. I appreciate that as well. And of course,
no problem. I enjoyed it.
Congratulations to Christy, who won the free director's cut DVD. I'm gonna be making a post shortly, thanking her and congratulating her on that, Mr. Mike.
Yay.
Man, as always, it's been a blast. You know me. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I enjoyed it always.
Got all the love in the world for you, and I'll be talking to you. I'm sure pretty soon, sometime next week.
Hey man, I got something for you.
Yeah, what's that?
My yard needs mowing. You think you can handle that?
Now, you know all the bull crap I'm going through with my shoulder, the same as what you've been through and are still going through. So you know how the answer to that one.
Well, you know, I'll fix you up. You know, we
if
got...
If I could, you know I would. You know I would.
Well, I know you would. You just forget about this one. You catch your weed eating the next time.
That wouldn't be a problem. That wouldn't be a problem at all. I ran landscaping down in Destin, Florida for 10 years, so yeah. That wouldn't be a problem.
Okay. Well, I'm just joking, man. You know me. I got a red tag on.
I know. But you know, if you need anything, all you got to do is pick up the phone and call.
Oh, yeah. I'll meet you on the 1st of October, man. We'll hash it out. We'll get up there and we'll sit around. We'll have a good meeting.
Have us a nice little campfire story swapping.
Yeah.
Debbie, you got to get involved too now. I'm going to call you.
Oh,
when
yeah.
I get there.
I'm definitely going to be there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to call you and definitely want to get you guys get together and, you know, it'll be fun.
Hey,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
Beth's invited too if she wants to come all the way over to the
state. Yeah, she can make it.
I'd love to. You know I would.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a blast. I, you know, we're going to go out there and do that expedition and stay a couple of nights. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it because I get to see how these guys do it, and they get to see a little bit about how I do it. And I got to really kind of keep mine reeled in because I'm used to going out there by myself and just being kind of gung-ho, whatever. And, you know, you guys over there have a lot of different wildlife than I do here. A lot, you know.
Oh, yeah. You've
got a larger population of hogs, for one. So
I'm just gonna
follow their lead, and, you know.
Well, over here,
be the support.
Over here, we have a lot of illegal weed plantations. You know, people plant out in the forest, and I just thought I'd let you know the Bigfoot here use a lot of weed. Okay, they smoke a lot of weed. I just want to play
you.
You
don't have
get here.
Proof of that.
That explains everything.
We don't.
That's why they're so moody.
Hey, man,
and hungry.
Our Bigfoot's party over here. I mean, they ain't like y'all over there, man. Y'all back in the 1800s, man. We party over here.
That's where
maybe,
the good stuff is.
maybe that's why they were chasing you, because they were high and horny.
Hey, that party out of the woods, too.
Oh, my God. Woo. Man, it's been a lot of fun. This is probably one of the funnest shows that we've had, you know, with you guys on. And thank you for it. You know, if you guys got to go, I understand. Basically, all I'm going to do is stay on for a little while, take some calls, and kind of vent a little bit about some things that I've been noticing lately in the Bigfoot community. Mostly how a lot of people they're looking at these pictures of woods and trees and stuff, and every shadow they think is a Sasquatch. And, you know, I had a couple of guys go and look through my my pictures that I posted just recently of my area, which I'm sure you guys have seen. And they're like, what is that in the background? You know, and what is that shadow there? It's like, it's just a freaking shadow. It's just a stump.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I know what you're talking about.
And you know, with me, with our guys and myself, if we can't prove with 100% that it's a Sasquatch, we're not going to go chasing shadows, if you will. We're not going to say that everything that moves in the woods is a Sasquatch. We're not going to say that every broken tree branch is from a Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there was that many Sasquatch out there in the wild, we wouldn't be looking anymore because they'd already be found.
Why?
You know, where every picture has 12 Sasquatch in the background. No. If there was that many, you know, we would be out of work, basically, because they'd already been found, discovered, and proven. And that's just one of the things that kind of irks me, I guess. You know, and the guys in the group and on the team, I mean, they'll be the first to admit, you know, we're not going to go that route. You know, we're not gonna post, and we could easily do like every other Sasquatch group out there and post up all these pictures of trees and stumps and this and that and say, oh, this is a Sasquatch. You know, we're not gonna do that. If you can't look at if we can't get an image and you can't look at it and see with 100% certainty, hey, that's a Sasquatch, then it ain't worth us posting.
Right. Well, you know, the way I feel, Brian, you don't have to go looking for them. They'll come looking for you.
That's
very
right.
Curious. You know, if there was, I know a particular person you're talking about, and it's pretty far out, some of the stuff he posts, but, you know, it's like this. If there was as many Bigfoot out there, he says it is, there'd be all kind of fights. It'd be like the ghetto in the woods, you know what I'm talking about? It'd be all kind of balls.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And see, there's another case going around now, and you guys may have seen it online. It's, I think the title is, does Bigfoot like to hang out at old playgrounds in Mississippi?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the answer is no. okay? I'll be the first one to say that guy is full of shit. It is not a Sasquatch. The cast that he has is a bear cast that they extended the heel on. I'll be the first to call him out. It is not, because I went and I looked at his personal page. I'm not going to name the name, but I went and looked at his personal page, and he was sitting there laughing about it, saying, well, I never said it was a Sasquatch. I'm very familiar with this person. When I was part of a paranormal group down in New Orleans, they had interactions with this person. They were all kind of scammer types, and that's why I left. That's why I started my own. I'll be the first to say it's bull. It's bull.
Wow, because that even made the news, our local news up here in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, huh?
Yeah,
I think on the Natchez, the Natchez Trace has a pretty good number of them, don't it?
I'm not saying that Sasquatch don't exist down there in Vicksburg, okay? I'm saying that what he is claiming, you know, in the track that he has, here's what he said. He said he was at the playground and he saw something black take off in the woods. That's all he said. And all of a sudden it became this whole Bigfoot thing, and he's letting it go. You know, he's saying, yeah, I never said it was a Bigfoot. No, but you never said it wasn't. You know, I'm not saying that there aren't Sasquatch down there. You know, well, I'm sure there are. I'm saying that this particular case is not a Sasquatch.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Brian, I have a question for you. Since you're in Mississippi, do
right.
you know Jim Bear Grant? His name's
no,
Jim
I...
Grant, but he goes by Bear.
No,
and he's from Mississippi, and he's encountered several there.
Well, I mean, I've had several encounters here as well. You know, I don't know this particular person. I may have bumped into him on other sites or whatever, but personally, I don't know him personally. No.
Okay.
But, you know, Mike, you mentioned Natchez Trace, and I actually had one of my sightings on Natchez Trace. That place is very, and then another night, my girlfriend had a sighting on Natchez Trace. And this is separated by at least 2 years, these two incidents. So, yeah, Natchez Trace is, the whole route is federally owned.
Brian, you don't think that was her boyfriend, do you?
Hey, if so, more power to her. You know, bring home some money. Don't tell them to send some money back with you.
Sell those pictures for about $25 a piece.
Yeah, exactly.
Like them,
you know,
like them ex-war out wrestlers do.
Nah, you know, I used to, back in my younger days, I used to get stressed out about stuff like that. But now it's like, hey, you know, if that's what they want to do, ain't nothing I can do to stop them.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, you're a good guy. I don't think you got nothing to worry about.
Nah, I don't think so. Thank you anyway for
saying that. Anybody in my book that likes Bigfoot, you know, is a pretty good person.
I don't know. Now, there's a couple of loons out there.
I'm not talking about them, you know.
You know, the bad thing about this field that I've discovered is there's a lot of people trying to make money off of everyone else.
Yep.
I can sit here and list names all day long, and they never go out there and research. They have their little websites, and all they're doing is making money off of other people's reports and other people's sightings, and that's I'm not down for that, you know. I'm not down for that. You know, I'm not gonna. And it's just like television shows. You know, if I was to get offered a television show, unless that show, I'm not going to do one of these hokey shows. Unless that show is 100% legit and truthful, then I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to lose my morals and my values to make money. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go the route of some of these other guys that, you know, I can throw names out there all night long. And, you know, I'm just doing my thing. That's all it boils down to. I'm doing my thing. If it works, fine. If people like it, good. You know, but I'm not going to sell myself short and pretend to be something that I'm not. I'm not going to go out there on TV and act the fool and do all this other stupid shit and, you know, just to get a paycheck. or to get that celebrity status and ego boost. I'm not about that shit.
Yeah.
You know, I'm more interested in the true, honest research of Sasquatch and the knowledge that comes with that than I am anything else. I mean, everything else that comes along, yes, that's good. That's an extra benefit. But, you know, I'm still going to do my thing no matter what.
Right. Well, before I hang up, what's your take on that arm that surfaced yesterday? I think Beth can give you a little bit better update on it than me. One of the guys found it. Was on $10 million Bigfoot bounty, I think.
Stacy Brown.
You're talking about Stacy Brown.
Yeah, yeah. Sasquatch hunters.
Yeah, he's probably. I'm trying to get him on the show. He's probably going to be on the show in a couple of weeks. To be honest, I didn't want to say anything just yet because it hasn't been confirmed. But I'm hoping to get him on the show in a couple of weeks. You're talking about the non-human arm that he found.
I think that's what it is.
Right,
it's
right.
It's said to be a primate arm, but there are people that are, you know, there's different takes on it. I know a really well-known researcher that says that's more than likely a recessed monkey arm because they filmed some Tarzan movies down there in the 60s, and a lot of the recessed monkeys escaped, and there's thousands of those little recessed monkeys down there.
And the arm appears to be really small. Yeah, I've heard that it could be a chimpanzee as well. In Stacy's defense, I have not seen anywhere, and maybe I've just missed, but I've not seen anywhere where he claims it to be a Sasquatch. Or a skunk ape. He's just saying that he found a non-human primate arm.
It could come out that
maybe it is a chimpanzee and maybe that is what the skunk ape really is. I don't know. You know, I don't know where it's going yet to say one way or the other. I don't believe it's a Sasquatch arm. If it is, it would have to be a very young juvenile.
Well, now his thermal footage is so amazing. I mean, that thing was huge. Him and his father got their thermal footage is just amazing.
I haven't seen that yet. I didn't watch the.
I'll send it to you, Brian.
Okay, yeah, I didn't watch the Bigfoot Bounty because the whole idea of hunting a Sasquatch and you know, I took it as killing Sasquatch. I don't go for all that, you know, so I won't watch it or support any shows of that nature.
Well, Brian, you know for a fact that they're not going to ever pay that $10 million out because in order to collect that, you got to prove their existence. Now, how are you going to do that? You're going to have to bring a body in and throw it down on the table. That's the only way. First off, they won't let you use a gun, okay?
I've got a caller calling in. I think it's Brian Empey. Hey, Brian, is it you?
Yeah, it's actually me, man. I was about to have to go, but I can hang on just a little bit. Man, it's good to listen, y'all. I've kind of caught most of the whole show, so a lot of interesting topics, obviously, about the movie. You know, I've already ordered one of those director's cuts. I mean, I'm all about it. Anything to, you know, like you said, Brian, anything to help the people who are trying to do it right, you know, trying to get financing, trying to do it right, not glamorizing or say I'm going to be on a show and, you know, to get on there, you might have to hope something. No, I really like Debbie and Mike and all that whole situation down there. We had a great day down in Falk. So, hey, you know I'm not too far from there, so you know what that means.
I mean, we're going to hang out when I get down there for sure, but you actually did an interview for the end credits, right?
Yeah, and as quick as I can say is I was with a group from Austin who came, and nobody knew they were coming, but me and two other people, they came and camped out down there in the Falk area, I'll say. The guy had a great thing. He had dog tracker collars, and he had a dog GPS in it, you know, that he carried. So he left the collars on his truck, and we were probably 250 to 300 yards away, but all we had to do, we knew exactly where to go back, and it was pitch dark. Okay,
right.
But we came upon a set of tracks that are on that thing and probably on my Facebook somewhere or another that dwarf my foot. My foot's solidly 14 inches. This thing was 18 plus and way wider than my foot. Okay, it wasn't a footprint. It was a depression at
yeah.
the top of a ridge that it took all you can do to get up to the top of the ridge, climbing it. Okay, it was every 5.5 to 6 feet. Okay, and nothing else at the top of this ridge. Big, gigantic depression. I was jumping up and down. I couldn't make a dent in that ground. These depressions look like an elephant walking up there, and all we could do was climb up there. So,
wow.
Again, we don't know what it was, but it is compelling, and it makes your skin crawl when you see something like that. That's one of my kind of quick stories of what I was on the trailer about. I mean, it was really scary, and I had the picture and showed it, and it was pretty creepy. So,
wow, that's awesome, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I kind of can. If we're down there and have enough time, I can take you to just about where it is. But
definitely,
250, 300 yards from any remote road. I will have to look at the sun to get back because we ain't gonna have those collars. So,
I've got a pretty good compass too. But yeah, man, I look forward to meeting all you guys. Now it was you, Johnny Holmes, Dole Holmes, Greg Moorhead. That went over there and did the interviews for the end credits.
Right, at the Monster Mart. They hosted Debbie and the whole thing, and the owner was fully involved, and that was great, that whole situation. All the murals inside and everything. It's really good.
That's awesome. Well, I know you're at work, man. I appreciate you calling in and support. I look forward to getting together in October and hanging out and going out there and doing research and everything.
Yep. All right, well, good talking to y'all.
And all right, buddy.
Too.
All right.
All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. So, yeah, I'm sorry. We were talking about this whole million-dollar Bigfoot bounty thing. And, you know, I just don't – like I said, I don't watch these shows that talk about – killing Bigfoot and things of that nature. I don't see the point. I mean, I know that it would take a body, but Mr. Mike, you were saying also that they would have to come in and throw a body down.
Well, that's the only way, Brian. I feel like they would pay the $10 million. And another thing, they're not going to put up $10 million knowing that they might stand a good chance of having to pay it out. I mean, this is showbiz. This all this is.
Yeah.
This is just showbiz.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing also. I truly believe that the government will step in before anything ever definitively comes out.
Right.
That's my belief. I've talked to a lot of I live right across from Wildlife Management Office. I live on the refuge. I know all the forest rangers, the law enforcement with the forestry. Without giving too much information, they know,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do.
They know.
Yeah, they know.
They know of the existence of them. A lot of times it's covered up. In fact, someone was talking to me, Johnny Holmes was talking to me earlier today about that video, the torn-up camp.
Well.
And I don't believe that video is legit. I just don't. To me, when I look at it, the tent looks like it was cut with scissors or a knife. It doesn't look like it just doesn't look like something seriously vicious and wild tore up the camp. You know.
Well, that's Bob Garrett, and he's a friend of mine. I know he's a friend of Mike's too. you know, you may have a point about it may not have been, you know, a Sasquatch that tore up the camp. But now as far as Bob goes, you know, I do have to stand up for Bob on that. Bob's an honest, good man.
Oh, yeah, I'm friends with, you're talking about Robert Garrett, right?
Yeah, Bob Garrett.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
I'm friends with him, too. I just don't think that that was a Sasquatch that tore up that camp, you know. First of all, we'd heard more about the case on the news. You know, there'd have been something about campers missing or campers dead or campers found dead or something along those lines. None of that ever came out. It's my understanding that the wildlife agency took this film and didn't want to release it, and then they finally released it. If something really that volatile happened there, they wouldn't release that film. You know what I'm saying? They would have kept that film held back, and you'd have seen things on the news, campers missing or campers dead or something along those lines, and then they would have probably chalked it up to a bear or something like, or mountain lion anyway.
I was down there a week or two ago. And, right in that area, I was just basically...
Hell, a hog could have done it.
Spitting distance. And something, we were driving down the highway, and something ran out front of us, okay? I don't know what it was. It was big, but it was on four legs. And it was moving fast, and it was big, okay? And it crossed the road real fast, and wasn't a wolf. It was a dark-colored creature. It was big, but I was looking down and something in the forward truck, and right at the time I looked up, you know, Gary said something, and I saw it, and it just shot out in front of us, and we were pretty close. And I don't know what it was. I mean, I just, it wasn't a hog, wasn't a wolf. He thought it was a juvenile squatch, you know.
Was there deer in the area?
There's deer all over the place, but, you know, there ain't no deer. Deer. I've seen just about every creature out there, but I've never seen something hunkered down like this. And,
well, the reason I asked about deer is because I've had many, excuse me, many experiences, even very recently, where I'm out there and I see a deer and I'll stop and I'll look at the deer, and next thing I know, I'm getting something thrown at me from a total different direction, or what I can only describe as a log slam. Hell, I got hit with pine cone on two separate occasions. And it does happen when I'm standing there looking at a deer. So I'm kind of thinking that these things are kind of telling me keep going, you know, that they're stalking this deer, they're watching this deer, and they're telling me get the hell out of here. You know, don't spot the deer off.
That happened to me.
I don't know what it was, but it was something. Okay, it happened so fast, and. It was one of them deals where you see something, you just can't get it out of your mind. I mean, like, if it had been a hog or something like that, it's a wild hog. But, you know, it's just something you just can't, you know, it's in your mind, and you just keep going back. What was that? You know, what was that? So that right there alone tells you, it's, you know, it was kind of something, but, you know, I don't know.
Beth, you said that happened to you. You care to elaborate?
Oh, yeah, I got, I've had four encounters altogether.
Yeah.
And, but my last two encounters, there were objects thrown. The third encounter, me and my daughter-in-law were pelted with gravels, little rocks. And we were in our driveway. I mean,
wow.
This was coming out of a field behind her.
I'll tell you something else that they do. They throw branches, and people are probably going to think I'm talking about some little skinny thing. They throw nice-sized chunks of wood,
yeah,
rock, for you to look in that direction so that they can haul ass in the other direction. I've seen that with my own eyes. Me and some of my family members were out there, and we kept hearing, you know, things in the woods being thrown, and we heard something in the woods being thrown. They all looked towards the rock, and I just happened to glance the other way, and I saw this thing one step in the middle of the road, and it was over the road. Gone.
Oh, yeah.
Super duper fast, just like what you described, Mr. Mike. I mean, it was just a large, brown, hairy blur that I could see legs on. And it was across that road. And the impression that we got was that this thing wanted to distract us so it could make its getaway and cross the road. It wanted us to look into the woods so that it can run across the road behind us.
Right. They will do that. My dogs were involved in this also, and when my dog and my son's dogs were involved in it, and on the fourth thing that happened, they were barking at one, what I believe was one. I didn't see it, but I believe it was one at the corner of their property in some woods and some brush and briars. And then as when they saw what it was, when it must have jumped at them or something, because these are big dogs too. I'm talking 85-pound dogs. Came running, almost ran me over to get in the house. And then as soon as that was going on, something hit the side of the house off to the right of me. So there was two. There was one to the left of me, one to the right of me. It scared the crap out of me. You know? But they do. They throw rocks to get... So, but, you know, you're in my... You need to leave, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a warning. It's,
you know, there's a lot of things that I've experienced and I've seen that I have yet to talk about. Members of my team know about it. My good friends know about it. Mr. Mike knows about a good bit of it that we've spoke about in private. You know, this is not just a spur of the last moment thing, you know, that's, I wasn't just sitting around and got in my head, oh, you know what, I'm going to go out there and get into the Bigfoot world. No, this has been going on for at least 10 years. You know, I've got guys on my site who used to work for the BFRO who have talked to me years ago about Bigfoot stuff and Bigfoot reports, and have actually been here to my house. So, yeah, this is not just a new thing. This is, you know, I've been into this stuff for years. I'm just recently...
How did the BFRO treat you?
Well, let's just say that the guy who interviewed me is no longer with the BFRO, and I have absolutely no love for the BFRO.
I hear that a lot.
None at all. It's there are, just like I said earlier, one of those groups that want to make their name and their legacy off of the backs of other people and other people's reports. I would discourage anyone who told me that they were thinking about turning in a report to the BFRO. I would discourage anyone not to do it.
Mike, you've had a bad experience with the BFRO.
Not only me, but I've had a lot of people tell me that they've tried to talk to them and they wouldn't respond to them or call them back or nothing like that. Kind of blew them off.
They want your reports for their own little personal maps so they can see where they can come and do all their little expeditions and maybe now even their show. You know, it's not about the it's not about the individual.
No,
we've got 1 minute left live on the air. If there's anything you guys want to say, we're going to keep going. It'll get recorded into the archive section. But if there's anything you guys want to get while we're still live on the air, get out there. Feel free to.
Yeah, well, I got to get off here, Brian. I got a show to do tomorrow on the East Coast out in Virginia, and I think I got to prepare for that. And I know Debbie does, too, if she's still listening. But, you know, good. Appreciate you having us on the show. And I always enjoy talking to you. And anytime you want to talk to me, just give me a buzz. And,
No doubt. I appreciate the show. I'm gonna be in touch with you sometimes this week. I mean, you know that already. But it was a great show, Mr. Mike. You have a great night.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna get off of here and good night, everybody.
All right. Good night. Beth, you can stay on if you want. I've got another caller. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Brian, what's up, brother?
Hey, who's this?
This is Johnny.
Johnny. Beth, I've got my buddy and partner, Johnny Holmes.
Oh, yeah, I know Johnny.
I was wondering if you were going to call in.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Beth if she's learned the rest of that song yet.
Rocky Top.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know I don't forget Rocky Top, buddy. Yeah, I'm a Vol. My blood runs orange, hun, let me tell you.
Yeah, Johnny, I know you know who I was talking about earlier when I was talking about some people riding on the coattails of others.
Yeah, but we won't mention any names there.
No, I'm not going to mention any names. I thought that would be the motivator to get you to call in. We're actually in the archive right now. All this
well,
will be on
the floor. Nice to talk to you and hear your voice, Johnny.
Yeah, you too, Beth. I've been wanting to
follow
your post and everything. It's nice to meet you. Kind of not in person, but close as we can get for right now, I guess.
Yeah,
so what'd you think of the show, man?
It was a good show. Y'all having a good time, you could tell.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, we're having a lot more fun than we normally do. When Mike and Debbie have been on, it's all pretty much been strictly business. But you know, with the release of the movie, you know, that's one hurdle over. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. We were able to cut loose a little bit more. And I think what it boils down to also is I'm getting more. I mean, you've listened from day one. That I'm getting to where I'm not as nervous doing it, you know, as I used to be. Because I've realized that I've talked to some really important people, you know.
Yeah.
And there's really no reason, and that's not to toot my own horn or brag or you know be egotistical or anything like that. But there's really nothing for me to be nervous about, you know. It just comes with the territory.
Just talking
you
with
do
friends, but
good interviews, you know.
Yeah, it's part of the whole disability that I have, the PTSD and all that other, you know, I won't go through a long laundry list, but it just happens, you know. I'm learning better to deal with it and control it.
Right.
For a while there, I was pretty much a shut-in.
The first two shows I was on, I was absolutely nervous, so nervous. But I'm getting better at it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking earlier today, you know, going out there almost nightly and doing what I'm doing, it's really therapeutic for me in a lot of ways. I don't know if you can relate to this or if you feel the same way, but it's so relaxing, and it just brings you down to back to a certain level. You know, it shows you that life doesn't have to be as stressful as what we make it, or as chaotic. You know.
Oh yeah, man. Yesterday, you know, I went out with Mike yesterday, and it was just so cool, relaxing. Well, we had such a good time, and we were only out for maybe an hour and a half or so.
Yeah, yeah.
But
talk about that a little bit, Johnny. You guys,
it was kind of came across
some stuff.
Yeah, we were driving down. He's trying to find this road that he knew about that led to the kind of oil well kind of thing, but we took everyone that we found and none of them was it. And we passed this one little area that looked like it might be a road, but it was all grown up. I said, well, maybe that's it. And he said, well, maybe. So we got out. We pulled in my truck. I said, I want to get out and make sure I'm not about to drive into a hole or nothing because there was a bunch of tall grass there. Get into something we can't get out of. And
right.
So after walking through it, I could see on the other side of the tall grass there was a road. So I said, I think we'll be all right. So we drove in, and we got so far in, and there was a tree across the road, a big one. And
That's what has me curious. It has me thinking that maybe there is something going on back there because, you know, from what I've read, from what you told me, there was a lot of trees blocking the road.
Yeah, in this particular area, beyond that one that I just mentioned, there's a clearing, and it was kind of a dead end for that road. But we couldn't move this tree. It was so big, so we had to just leave the truck where it was and go around the tree. We couldn't even go over it. So he started walking around the edge of it, and I was behind him, and I heard this little grunting, growling noise. And, you know, and it could have been a hog, it could have been anything. But I said, did you hear that? And he said, no, I didn't hear anything. And we stopped for a little bit, and didn't hear it again, so we kept going. Then when you get to this little clearing, it was like a dead end, and the road went left and right. So we just went to the left, and we went over another tree across the road. And then the ones in the video that I showed, that one right by that dry creek bed had vines all in it. And before we got there, we saw a vine laying in the road that had been torn off of something that hadn't been cut or broken or anything. It just, you could tell it had been ripped off of whatever it was on and had the long place. It looked kind of like breaking a fresh blade of grass or something, you know. Doesn't just break right in half. It kind of drags out. That was laying in the middle of the road, and it wasn't anything around us that had vines on it.
There's an echo. Does someone actually have the show on right now while they're on the phone?
I don't.
Okay, there's kind of an echo going on. I don't know. It might be the site. The site has been kind of screwy here lately anyway.
I got Facebook on, that's about it. Well, I'll tell you what, let me try this. How's that?
Yeah, that's a little bit better.
Any better? Okay. So anyway, this vine's laying in the middle of the road, no vines around it. So about 100 yards or so down, we come up on that dry creek bed. And before we got to that, he goes, do you hear that? And I said, no. And then he heard the grunting and the growling. And we got to this tree that's across the dry creek bed, and there's tall grass around it, and you could see where something had been walking around it. And that whole tree was just entwined with those vines. And that had looked like it had been actually constructed when it was put there. It didn't just look like a tree had been pushed over.
Right.
And then on the back side of that is where we saw that flattened grass. Now, anything could have flattened that, too. But I don't think it was a Sasquatch sleeping like somebody suggested earlier because it's out in the open. And I would think they would sleep in some kind of cover.
I kind of covered that a little bit earlier, how people think everything is Sasquatch. You know, deer flattened grass, bear flattened grass, hogs. You know, there's so many different things before you mentioned Sasquatch that could do any of those things, you know.
Yeah. But you saw in the video that one tree by the creek bed and the other tree that was down the road that I set the camera in between those two trees.
Yeah. Is it interesting? Yes. Is it coincidental? Yes. Is it Sasquatch? We don't know. You know, that's why we're out there doing all this, you know?
Until I would have seen it, I wouldn't have said that. And I didn't see one, but, yeah, you know, I get that feeling every once in a while that you're being watched. And I definitely had that the whole time. I felt like it was walking along beside, or something was walking along beside us out in the forest, you know?
I tell you what, one of the last times I'm sorry, go ahead.
When we were walking, there was birds singing on both sides. And then once we went around that first tree with the vines in it by the dry creek bed, all the birds moved over to our left. And then all then they just stopped singing all together. Everything was quiet around there.
Wow.
And I was putting the camera on a tree, and Mike was down at the next tree that was across the road, and he found a stick and banged on it, and it was like a tree knock. And then we heard a response out in the woods. It was seemed quite a distance away, but it was definitely
well,
out there, but it was hurt.
Well, we know that when they're real close to you, they're not going to do the wood knocks, you know. So chances are there was more than one, and the one further away probably thought the one that was close to you was the one that knocked and responded to it.
You know? But, you know, I hear that a lot. I talk to a lot of witnesses because I network a lot and have really for a while now. But I hear that a lot, that people say that the crickets, the birds, everything will stop. Will stop making noises. You know, it
did. It was the weirdest thing I've seen. And when we got back to the truck, they were all singing again.
I've had that happen.
They pretty much stayed quiet until we got back.
It doesn't happen every time, but I've had it happen a couple of times. And I'll tell you what, one of the last times I went out, in fact, I think I talked to you when I was out there. Well, anyway, one of the last times that I went out there, I was coming up on a ravine. And I and people don't believe this, but the more you're out there, the more attuned you become to it. I knew that there was something down in that ravine before I ever saw it. Turned out it was a deer, but I knew it was there. I could feel it. You know, smell. Your sense of smell is increased, especially at night. You know, your sense of hearing is increased because your vision is decreased. So I think there's that compensation that goes on there, but yeah, man, I knew that there was something in that ravine long before I got to it, just from the feeling, you know. It was a deer. I'm not gonna say it was a Sasquatch. It was a deer. I know it was a deer. I saw it, but I knew that there was something there.
Well, another thing that was cool with us was the first time I asked him if he heard that growl, he said no. And we went around the tree, and he stopped for a minute, and he goes, "You smell that?" I said, "No." I said, "What does it smell like to you?" And he goes, "It smells kind of like dead, nasty fish or something."
Yeah.
I said, "No, I don't smell anything." So then after we got around that corner, then I smelled something. I said, "Do you smell that?" And he says, "No." And it was just something on the breeze, you know. I mean, it wasn't like a constant odor or anything. It's just something that went by us, and then one time we both got the same whiff of something. And
well, that's interesting.
During the walk tour, we put the cameras. There was we run across some deer tracks and some bobcat tracks and what we thought might have been juvenile Sasquatch tracks. They were very old, and they had been rained on since they were made, and the toes were gone. There was no toes, but you could tell a definite heel and. Like a flat place where a foot had stepped, and Mike put his boot in there, and he wears a size 13, he said, I think, and it was bigger than that. So.
Wow.
And his boot fit in it. Perfect.
There's one particular area.
What area? You may have well had one there.
I'm sorry, Beth, what?
Oh, I was just asking you what area this was in, and did make a comment that you may very well have had one there.
Yeah, I believe we may have. We were in, we're around a lake, Trinity River. It's the Trinity River bottoms, and Mike's had a sighting there before, so they've been known to be there. And this is a big, huge wildlife management area. And there's not hardly anybody ever there, and when we're driving into it, both sides of the road have marshland on them, and they use those for, like, bird resting areas and stuff. And
yeah.
There's hogs out there, and we went driving out there tonight one night. We saw hogs and raccoons and snakes and all kinds of wildlife out there. But that was the night, Brian, that we saw the tree pushed across the road.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was a green tree. That just happened. That's
wow.
The video we put up.
See, I've had stuff like that happen overnight where I'm out there one night and there's no tree broke or anything like that. And I go back the next night and there's a tree broke right in the area where I had stopped, you know, the night before. There's one particular ravine that I have to say over because, you know, the ravine's on both sides of the trail. And I've smelled, well, you've seen my post, I've smelled what smells like if you open a sewer, old sewer pipe and they have the black gunk in it, or a grease trap, like behind the restaurant. I've smelled what smelled like that before. I've smelled what smells like pig farms, pure horse urine. Yeah, I've all in the same little ravine. And I know it's a very, very highly used path because there's droppings, you know, that you can see that have been pretty much ran over. But yeah, there's a trail of droppings going across this ravine. And, you know, the other day I was out there, and I'm sure, I know you watched a couple of my videos, Johnny, of the kind of field area where I stood that night. Well, I noticed the other night when I went, I took some friends out there, and, oh man, I don't think I'll be doing that again anytime soon. It was like they were like a herd of elephants going through there, and I just knew that I wasn't going to get anything.
Yeah.
Heard some distant sounds, some distant howls, some distant grunts, but I noticed in that field area there's a new trail that has been cut. And I don't say cut like grass, lawnmower, anything like that. And this thing is wide. This is the first time I've seen it, and I go back there a lot. This is the first time I've seen it, and it goes to the power line that runs parallel to the road that I walk on, you know, which is where I've got a lot of my activity, where I've seen the eye shine back on that power line area, and it comes right out into that field. I'll try to get out there tomorrow if I can and take a picture of it, a video of it. But, yeah, I saw this the other night, and I didn't want to, you know, because they're just friends of the family, things like that, that decided they want to, you know, go for a little adventure or whatever. So I didn't want to pay attention to it. I didn't want to spook them, you know, or anything like that. So I've been meaning to get back out there, but things have just been kind of crazy. And, hell, tomorrow I got to go get stitches taken out. And after that, hopefully I can get out there and take some pictures of that area. But I told my girlfriend, she was with me, I said, look at that. I said, do you remember that being there? And she's like, no. I'm like, yeah, that's new. And it's one of the same spots where the tree breaks have happened overnight. You've seen the video. I've taken videos of that whole area. And there's a lot of tree breaks that are real interesting in that area. And I'm not saying that every tree break in the wood is Sasquatch or every trail in the wood is Sasquatch. That's not what I'm saying at all. But when I'm out there at night and I don't see any of that, and I look, I mean, I have my headlamp on, I'm looking at everything. And then the next morning I go to pick up my recorder and there it is. There's, you know, not in the same area as my recorder, of course, but, you know, I've got to go that route to get the recorder, and there's a tree break, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm like you, you know. Was that a squash that pushed that big tree over by that dry creek bed and put all those vines and stuff in it? I don't know if it was or not. I didn't see it do it. However,
that's right.
Could it have been a squash that did it? Yeah, it could have been.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what we're saying.
Yeah, and also, you know, it's kind of like a process of elimination. And what is out there in your woods that could do that? There's not a lot that can do that. Just like
that's
with
right.
The rock, like with the rock throwing and the, you know, the stick throwing and the pine cone throwing. You know, you got to have thumbs to pick up stuff and throw it, you know.
Well, you know, when I'm that's right. When I'm out there, when I'm out there and I've recorded it, I've posted it. When I'm out there and I get a tree knock, there's no mistaking a tree knock. I'm sorry, people. There's no mistake. It's not going to be a deer hitting his antlers on branches. There is no mistake in a tree knock. It is loud. It resonates. It's almost a hollow type sound. And I'm sorry, but I don't know anything out in the woods other than a human or a Sasquatch that could pick up something and slam it against a tree.
Right. I've heard it myself, so I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it's like...
It just comes down to, you got to eliminate the other possibilities. And if you can't, I mean, if you can eliminate everything else, then, you know, what else could it be, you know?
Well, it's like the log slamming that I mentioned. I didn't see, so I'm only assuming that it's a log slam. It's something very hard hitting the ground. And I don't mean like just like a deer stomping its foot or anything like that. I'm talking slam, loud.
Really loud, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I've been out there during the day and heard and had trees completely fall over around me.
Yeah, tree pushovers. I've heard those on TV, but I haven't ever heard any on my own. But yeah, they do that. It's an aggression. It's an aggressive behavior.
And I wasn't alone at the time. I had my son. He was with me when it happened. You know, my girlfriend's children. They were with me. And it's off in the distance, and it's always kind of on the edge of one of the ravines. You know, it happened, slam. Heard something take off down into the ravine, and I mean it because you're not expecting it, and it scares the crap out of you. I'm not gonna lie. No wind blowing at all. So, you know, I don't know if it was a Sasquatch. I didn't see the Sasquatch, but you know, everything around it. Yes, trees fall. Yes, branches fall all the time. But with no wind at all, it's just, you know, there's a lot of things that are just really suspicious and curious.
Yeah, we saw a limb that had been broken and had a fork on it. And it was hung on this other tree. But there was the tree that it was hung on, there was nothing above that. It was hung at the top of this tree, and I've got a picture of that. I'll put it on the cryptids page here in a little bit to show you. But how did that get up there? I mean, it looked like a hook, and somebody just hung it up there like a coat hanger or something. But and obviously that is dead, but there was nothing there, right there, for it to fall off of and land like it landed.
Oh, hell. Well, Johnny, I've told you before, I found tree breaks where the only thing that's there is the trunk of the tree that's still in the ground and about 6 foot up. The top of the tree is completely gone. Completely gone.
Yeah.
Not broken and still attached, not broken and hanging up. You know, hanging over, you know, on the ground or anything like that, completely gone. All you have is 6 foot of tree, and I'm talking a big, wide tree that's still pretty healthy. You know, at least a 4-inch, 6-inch diameter tree, still pretty healthy, broken off at 6 foot, and the whole rest of the tree is gone.
Yeah,
no,
that actually is a little bit odd, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Someone just tried to call me. I couldn't even see who it was.
Guys, I'm going to have to... I have loved being on the show and talking with y'all.
Oh,
and
thanks
nice
for
to meet
calling.
Donnie, and great to talk to you, Brian. And I will be in touch with y'all, you know, on Facebook. And
Definitely stay in touch. We're
going
to probably
die here.
We're going to probably wrap it up, too, because I'm trying to figure out who the heck just called me.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll talk to you guys later. It's nice talking to you, Johnny.
Yeah, you too, Beth.
Okay. Catch y'all guys later.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I'm going to wrap it up, Johnny. I got to wake up early and go and get the stitches taken out.
Sounds good, brother.
But yeah, I'm super, super, super excited about in a couple of weeks being over there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to it. All right, well, that'll do for the show. Thank you guys for listening, those that are listening to the archive. Thanks again for listening. And next week, Les Stroud. I look forward to that. That's going to be great. And yeah. You guys have a good night. Take care.